Back up.
Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon. This is on-air daily news for Friday, October 28, 2022. I'm Naima Latif, and we want to share with you world, national, and local news. In Jerusalem, polls on Friday predicted Israel's former prime minister, Benjamin Netanyahu, would come within a single seat of an outright majority in his quest to return to power. In next week's election, the fifth in less than 4 years, Netanyahu, on trial for corruption charges he denies, has been vying for a comeback, aided by an alliance between his Likud party and far-right party Religious Zionism, a pact that could test Israel's foreign relations if it wins the ballot. Two polls, according to Reuters in Jerusalem, one released late Thursday by Israel's Kan public broadcaster and another published on Friday by the Ma'ariv newspaper. Both showed the Netanyahu bloc of four parties winning 60 of his parliament, 120 seats in Tuesday's vote. Netanyahu arrives at Election Day in good shape, but the battle has not been decided, wrote Haaretz newspaper's political analyst Yazi Berger. A deadlocked election could mean Israel would go to the polls again within months, with Prime Minister Yair Lapid remaining as office as caretaker. And that was the report on the recent polls in Israel. And USA Today reports that Ukraine wants to persecute Russians who launch missile strikes. An internet group says it found them. Executions, sex assaults, and forced movements of civilians. The invasion of Ukraine has led to a steady stream of war crimes, allegations against Russian military, senior officials, and President Vladimir Putin. For Ukraine's war crimes investigators, the challenges sometimes look insurmountable. They must analyze crime scenes even as bombs are falling. They must prove soldiers had not just wartime motivation, but criminal intent. And that was the report from USA Today. Here we go. And also, in other news, Illinois continues to prepare for its upcoming election. And for those who are looking for polling places, once again, the Board of Elections is sending out the latest notices of the changes in polling places. And for those who are uncertain, they may go to www.boardofelections.com and discover where their polling place might be. This has been a difficult time for many states, especially those that are addressing issues of voter suppression. And unfortunately, for those who have had polling places closed, such as in across Chicago, they are wondering if they will in fact be subjected to denial of voting if they cannot find their proper polling place. This has been a very difficult election time based on the fact hotly contested races between the Republicans and Democrats have created some very hostile circumstances. And as the president continues to assure Democratic candidates of his support, President Trump continues also to rev up voters in the Republican Party and to also appear at rallies that have hotly contested races so that those who are unsure and are still on the fence may make some choices. Today also is the weekend before the Halloween celebrations, and for those who are concerned about recent violence, unfortunately, there are people who still would like to engage their children in trick-or-treating. A group of parents are upset that the city's curfew will be in effect on Halloween. However, in Chicago, Chicago's Mayor Lori Lightfoot is striving to keep children safe with this curfew, and unfortunately, all parents are not seeing it in this light and are therefore striving to have that curfew lifted on Halloween. The governor of Illinois, in his yesterday's appearance for the report card on the state of education, made some remarks, and also remarks were made by those who have been taking a look at how our children are doing based on their response to the COVID crisis. And we'll share a little more from that session yesterday with Governor J.B. Pritzker and the Illinois Education Secretary and those who are advocating that our children continue despite their being behind because of delays in education in COVID, that in fact they continue with the ongoing pace for education with confidence that Illinois schools are doing well.
You know, for many decades, education was weighed down by these inequities of students and communities that were at risk. As a social worker, I always said, yeah, they're at risk of succeeding because they're going to. But we need to make sure that we're putting the funding where it matters. And we have done that with the funding formula, and we will continue to do that as a state and as state leaders like you have heard already the day today. So, you know, all of these accomplishments are really awesome, and we love taking pause to celebrate. However, I also know that there are still students and families out there who don't feel like celebrating. And I want to say to all of you, I see you. We see you. Keep pushing us. Keep advocating. keep demanding more for your children. We are listening, and we are going to continue working to bring this state even further along so next year's celebration can be even grander. I'm going to now summarize in Spanish. Buenas tardes. Soy Karina Villa, la senadora estatal del Distrito 25. Estamos aquí con tanto gusto para celebrar los logros de nuestros estudiantes, especialmente nuestros estudiantes que son afroamericanos y latinos. Ellos han hecho tanto en este último año, en estos últimos años, para seguir adelante a pesar de tantas cosas difíciles que han estado pasando en nuestro estado. Estoy tan orgullosa de estar aquí celebrando tantas cosas buenas y cómo hemos estado aumentando en nuestras graduaciones de estudiantes latinos y afroamericanos. Y también un punto tan grande de que tenemos más maestros que están entrando en la profesión, que son maestros latinos, que son maestros afroamericanos. ¿Por qué es tan importante? Porque yo como estudiante cuando estaba en la primaria nunca tuve una maestra que se parecía a mí. Yo no tuve maestros que eran latinos, que entendían cuáles eran mis raíces. Ahora tenemos más de 500 maestros que han entrado en la profesión aquí en el estado de Illinois, y es un logro muy importante porque así nuestros estudiantes se van a sentir más a gusto conociendo y viendo a estos profesores y tal vez un día pensar, voy a ser en el futuro yo un maestro. Qué hermoso logro sería que tuviéramos más y más estudiantes que deciden ser maestros en el futuro. Anteriormente yo fui trabajadora social en las escuelas y a mí me encantaba trabajar con los estudiantes, con las familias y entender sus raíces. Yo sé que estamos aquí para celebrar el día de hoy de tantos logros que hemos tenido aquí en el estado de Illinois, pero les quiero decir también que todavía no hemos acabado. Y yo sé que hay estudiantes y familias ahorita que se sienten que no han sido escuchados, que se han sentido olvidados. Y a ustedes les digo que los vemos. Y les pido que por favor sigan abogando por más, porque nosotros tenemos que hacer más por los estudiantes que todavía necesitan más ayuda y más recursos. Estamos aquí para eso y muchas gracias por su atención el día de hoy. Thank you, and now I would like to bring up Governor Pritzker again to answer any questions. Thank you.
And that, of course, was the statement made at yesterday's meeting regarding the Illinois Education Report Card. And we'll hear words from Governor J.B. Pritzker.
We're still recovering from the pandemic. Learning recovery is still taking place all across the country. It's not just Illinois, all across the country. It's been challenging. I mean, we were all focused on making sure we were safe and also learning at the same time, and those things were challenging each other. Now we've seen an upward trajectory in a way that, frankly, other states haven't seen as much of. And I think that's certainly one thing to celebrate. Just on a relative basis, Illinois is doing better. We also, and I said this a little bit in my comments earlier, we did something that many other states didn't do. We married the federal and state dollars that were available, you know, and are available for pandemic recovery with an actual plan for schools. We gave it to them at the same time. So the P20 learning recovery guide is something that helped a lot of schools that weren't sure how are we going to do this, because it's a very unusual circumstance. In our lifetimes, we've not seen this sort of thing. So the fact that the P20 Council had something to give that was a guide for students and schools and teachers, it was a tremendous benefit, and we are seeing that in the numbers. I also want to point out that graduation rates are graduation rates. I mean, that is a tremendous positive move in the state here at Morton West, it's also notable that we have seen the significant progress that has been made by Black and Hispanic students, despite the fact that there are challenges. Nobody is suggesting that the report card is somehow perfect. It is not. But it is an indicator of directionally things are getting better and accelerating in a way that I think is unexpected as compared to many other states. Having said that, I'll ask the superintendent to talk a little bit about proficiency.
Thank you, Governor. Yes, growth and proficiency can be confusing because they are not the same thing, right? So when we look at growth, we would look at a cohort of students that score the same, let's say fourth graders that score 640, and we look at them in comparison to students the following year to be able to measure growth, to see what that change has been. And so that's growth. And many of our teachers utilize throughout the year measures of growth to adjust instruction. When we look at proficiency, and I have to say that Illinois is one of the states that has the most rigorous standards in the nation. And each state in the United States develops their own proficiency levels. Some states have 4 proficiency levels. Illinois has 5 proficiency levels. So in Illinois, you have to meet the first 2 levels to be considered meeting proficient. In Florida, for example, you may have to meet the first 3 to be considered proficient. And so these are elements of different kinds of ways to look at student performance that we utilize. And in Illinois, we have the 5 proficiency levels. We utilize the first 2. And we have the standard level, the high quality, rigorous, high expectations in our standards. Now, growth in our accountability system accounts for 50% of that accountability system. Proficiency accounts for 15%. And so it can be difficult to kind of put all the pieces together and understand, but growth is very different from proficiency.
And again, that was Illinois Governor J.B. Pritzker, as well as Illinois State Superintendent of Schools, Dr. Carmen Ayala, speaking at a gathering of students and educators at the 2022 State School Report Card meeting at Morton West High School. Illinois faces, as other states, many challenges when it comes to financing schools and education, as well as the inequities as stated, and issues of language. There are still issues with bilingual education and English as second language classes, and with, as is reported, this latest pandemic, the absence of equipment for some students, which made it impossible to maintain their connection to the classrooms. So, once again, schools are taking a look at how to adjust to the changes and perhaps to reevaluate whether or not the current standard for education, for passing grades, for testing needs to be modified, since so many students did not have access to the year's programs during the pandemic. In other breaking news, Nancy Pelosi's husband, Paul Pelosi, was attacked by a person who broke into the couple's San Francisco home. This was reported by a spokesman. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi was said to not be home when the attack occurred. Mr. Pelosi was hospitalized after the assault, the spokesman said. And it is said that the house did have necessary security systems, but somehow the attacker entered the residence. There'll be more updates on that as they are released. This is a time for many of our elected officials to take a look at the stress of crime, violence, and the effects of gun violence on children and education. While many schools are still having preparedness drills in case there is an active shooter on the premise, many who are in the mental health field are stating that this itself is traumatizing. Is it better to have students prepared for such an event as an intruder with a gun in the school, or is it better to address legislative issues that would make such an eventuality impossible? Is it possible to change the attitude that has become partisan when it comes to gun control, assault weapons ban? And how do we go about ensuring that students feel safe? This also was one of the issues that emerged as schools looked at their report cards and the student progress over the past several years. Not only did the pandemic create a gap in the education, there's the trauma that occurs when there's violence. And now that violence is no longer an isolated or perceived to be an isolated issue with urban schools or schools in the Black or Spanish-speaking communities, as was stereotyped, many of the mass shootings have been in predominantly white school areas. So the issue is beyond poverty. There is a mental health epidemic, and children are not feeling safe in school, and parents are not feeling safe sending them there. Can merely spending more money address that issue, or is it another crisis that needs to be addressed? And where does one put money at in such a situation? Mental health professionals are advocating that more money be spent for the counseling of students that have faced trauma or have family members that have faced trauma. And the mental health of students surviving COVID has been seen to have an impact on the education. Data from the 2021 Adolescent Behaviors and Experiences Survey, the ABES, indicate that 37.1% of U.S. high school students reported poor mental health during the COVID-19 pandemic, with 19.9% considering and 9.0% attempting suicide in the preceding year. This points to a major mental health crisis among young people. And those who are in areas where violence has erupted are facing compounded mental health challenges. Still, in many schools, the response to children acting out has been to police them and even arrest them rather than recognize that they are traumatized. And therefore, where would funding be spread if it were to address the mental health crisis? So for those who are still untreated after the trauma of being in a school shooting, how are they expected to continue their academics? After the May 24th school shooting at Uvalde, mental health was pouring in to that institution. However, a fourth of the residents were uninsured, and that gave them few options of counseling. Mental health services were not made available for free in many instances. This makes it difficult for students to recover from such a tragedy. The weight of the shortcomings of Uvalde's mental health system came down hard after a troubled teen raised in the small southwest Texas town entered Robb Elementary School a few days before the summer break and shot to death 19 children and two adults with an assault rifle. That shooting pointed to a mental health crisis that existed before the shooting. What are officials doing to address the issue of mental health across the nation? It's more than just academics. And no one is safe from the behavior of those who are struggling with a mental health crisis. Case in point, the attack on the husband of the Speaker of the House. The violence, the attacks, the lack of safety is something that no one is safe from. No one is safe from the violence of others as long as there is a crisis in mental health exacerbated by conditions of extreme stress created by systems supportive of basic human activities that are peaceful, soothing, and allowing relaxation. Those are issues that elected officials and those who are running for office need to address. Are they being addressed in this upcoming election? Are we pointing to others as the culprit in a problem? Or are we looking at the overall society and its creation of the problem? You be the judge. Well, that's all for now. I'm Naima Latif with On Air Daily News, looking at the world, the nation, and your neck of the woods as we prepare to select those leaders who will guide us into the next year. Until Monday, enjoy the rest of your day.